If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the supreme love that subduces and sustains us all. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is how to increase and release your faith. So if you're ready, let's take a deep breath. And allow the Holy Spirit to come down through your body. Oh, doesn't that feel great? Like goosebumps all the way from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Oh, delicious. Let's do that again. Oh, that's glorious. Oh, my whole head is just like one mass of chills. And purple light, wow, it's going down the whole body, all the way down to the feet. Oh, glorious. All right. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Ooh. Just let's have tea with that for a few minutes. Oh, flood after flood of goosebumps going down over the body. What are you experiencing? Oh, here comes another wave. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Oh, glory. Here comes another one. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, here comes another one. Oh, this is just golden glory pouring down. Come on, folks, let's just receive this. The Holy Spirit is just pouring forth into us, and we're conduits. We're conduits. Oh, glory. Glory. Do you know we're the only way God can enter the dream here? The time, space, Maya, illusion. Dream that we think is real, and it's not. It's a projection of a distorted belief in separation. Oh, here comes another wave. Oh, golly. Whew. Oh, and here's another. Okay, just everybody receive. Just be a willing conduit. A willing portal through which the glory and the love and the presence of God can enter this dimension. Oh, here comes another wave. Here it is. Oh, and another. Oh, Lord. Thank you. Oh, glory. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. And it's probably rocking your body. Some of you may feel lots of heat. My body is davening back and forth. Your spirit is like a candle flame, you know. It's been referred to in the Bible as candles of the Lord. My ministers are flames of fire. That's what it says in the scriptures. We are flames of fire. That's the Atma. That's that divine, phlogistic, monadic energy that we speak about. Whew. So let's see where the Holy Spirit leads us tonight. What would you have me say, Lord? Well, here comes another wave. Ooh. The Lord would have me just absolutely re-emphasize and remind you that you, me, every single one of us, are the only mechanism through which the Divine Spirit directly enters this dream, this Maya, this samsara. We're it. We are the conduits through which the Divine Spirit directly walks this earth. I mean, consider that. Really consider that. Oh, here comes another wave. Oh, wow. And this happens to be Halloween, which many people use to be a portal for dark energy. Not everyone, but there are people who are just as dedicated to being portals of destruction as we are dedicated to being portals of the divine. Now, I said that carefully because we don't want to start looking at people as them and us. We want to understand that everything has the same Divine Spirit animating it. It is the mind that determines how that divine energy presents. The mind is that which is caught and is the very substance of the sense of duality. That is the mistaken thought form. That is the root cause of every single war, conflict, argument, division, and problem that we have on the planet. It's that silly little thought that we forgot to laugh at. That's how the Course in Miracles defines that silly little thought of separation from God. And we forgot to laugh. But in that little insane thought, time was born, and space, and a whole illusory world. Polarization and separation and alienation and attraction and repulsion arose because every single one of us has the power of God to create. When we bring the full power of our being into alignment, so that we host only divine power, we import heaven now. We become heaven now. We become the kingdom that has come now. We become the golden age. So here comes another wave. Oh, glory. We've had a lot of violet flame coming in to transmute and clear. We I had a lot of golden light come in to bring illumination. Whew, and the energies of soul. This last one was blindingly white. Oh, here comes another one. Oh, and another one. And the energies come down over the top of the crown chakra. And they flow over in me, the back, my whole back. Whew. And also the front of the body. But it feels like it's down the spine. Whew. That's actually a Kriya yoga technique of where you breathe into the spine. Let's try that. Let's breathe into the spine. Oh, that increases it even more. That increases it even more. Okay. You see, we need to work with what spirit presents. We need to be present with spirit, which is always now. The minute we get into the mind, we start narrative, which takes us usually into past memory, past information, reference points, past experience, or visionary projections and visualizations into the future, which actually is a big nonsense. Because everything is, right now, whole, perfect, and complete. It's not something we're becoming. It's not something we're evolving into. It's not something we're even ascending to. Says she, who was an ascension teacher for most of her life. But I've experienced and realized things that I didn't know some 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. When I started all of this, that I know now. So the message that we give has to change with the realization that's present here and now. So those of you who are teachers, listen up. We just have to pay attention to what spirit is presenting right now. And right now, we, everyone who's listening, everyone who's choosing to be present and to choose into this opportunity right this moment, is serving as a conduit of the divine spirit directly into this dream field, into this dark and dense nightmare that so many people, our brothers and sisters, are completely submerged in. And we are the answer to their prayers. We are the spiritual emissaries that God has anointed and sent forth into the dream field to dance the dream awake. The 144,000 is just symbolic of the connected and awakened ones. It's not limited to 144,000. And so we are all in that, to choose to be in that, and you have to step forward into it. That's your choice. Your choice right now is to step into what's happening right now. And participate. And whether you're listening tonight or in this podcast and another whenever, you have the same opportunity to choose into that. And it will be as fresh as if it were this moment. Because spirit comes out from beyond our concepts of time and space and separation. Those are all machinations of our mind, but not reality. I want to say something very strange, which is absolutely true. Nothing visible that you see with the body's eyes is real. Nothing. All that is real is invisible and is seen inwardly. Now, according to Sai Baba, all of our so-called spiritual practices are nothing more than mental imagination. Yeah. All of the forms, the millions of forms that we have attributed to God, quote, Sai Baba, are imaginations wrought of our own human mind, human self. So what is real? You, the one Atma, you are real. It is you that is the diversity that you see in those so-called outer forms. Sai Baba said, we but see ourself, speak to ourself, talk to ourself, hear ourself. That the whole of creation that we open our eyes to see is projected out of our mind. And we see the contents of that which we believe. Now, when you see truly, you will see only the holy, innocent, divine as everything, as everyone. No matter how diverse the appearance, you will not be fooled. You'll look right through it and past it and behold your own divine being. So all of these things that we do, according to Sai Baba, to do as a spiritual practice, generally don't produce the effects we want. Why? I'm going to quote him here. Because we have forgotten the unity and the diversity and are running after the diversity and have developed a liking for the diversity. We don't realize that the one has become the many. And all that we see around us are our own reflections, as if in a mirror. And we're running after the reflected images, leaving the actual object, which would be the divine self. So, the question is asked of Sai Baba, why are the many spiritual practices for experiencing the self futile? His answer, all the sadhanas or spiritual practices that are engaged in for experiencing the self only serve the purpose of quieting the mind. How often have we, you know, been told that? Mindfulness, meditation, all of it is for the purpose, what? Of quieting the mind, right? But Sai Baba said that the quieted mind can again become agitated, and does, regularly. Like a second after you get off of the meditation mat. So he says then the purpose, the whole purpose of this spiritual practice is lost. Also, he told us something that scared us, actually, because he said that two moments of anger dissipates the spiritual effect of 2 months of your spiritual practice. It overheats the blood. I forget how long that was, but that was for quite a while. And basically puts you right back to zero in terms of what you have built up in your spiritual practice for, what did he say? 2 months, I think he said. And so we live in a world which is constantly agitating our mind, constantly upsetting us, constantly irritating us, and we don't have enough sense to quit getting involved in that stuff. We watch the news. We watch what's happening in the politics. We pay attention to what the stock market is doing. And our blood pressure increases. Dis-ease begins to undermine our health. We begin to get so worried about what's happening in the world that we completely edge God out. Now, who would do that? The ego edges God out. The ego doesn't want you to wake up because then it won't have a home to live in, which is your sense of separation inside your mind. So it keeps you agitated. It keeps you worried about money and bills and what's going to happen to your body. It makes you so intent upon this bubble that we call a body, which is going to pop like a bubble and vanish at some point, according to Sai Baba. Baba says, the body is a bubble. The world is a dream. Wake up. So, we keep trying to quiet the mind, and the spiritual practice then becomes an exercise of delusion that binds us hand and foot. And whoever is bound by illusion can't obviously see the truth. So, it's important to recognize how the ego mind functions. Because when you understand its true nature, you can then dissolve it in illumination. Because the moment you begin to watch something with the eyes of the spirit within your mind, the higher mind, the buddhi, the discerning mind, the mind that can separate the real from the unreal, penetrated to the truth, as soon as you look at that ego mind, it dissolves. It's exactly as if you had taken a light into a room filled with cockroaches. It's dark in there, the roaches are out, the minute you bring in the light, they scurry trying to find a place to hide. The thing is, when you do that to the cockroaches of the ego mind, they're dissolved. They are zapped out of existence because in highest truth, they never existed in the first place. The mind is only held in place by the belief in I and mind. Me and mind. Now, this is mine. This is me. This is mine. This is me. I'm this. I'm that. I'm this. I'm that. Where we have attached identity into what we're not. And we attach identity all only with forms outside of ourselves. I mean, think about it. Everything we're attached to is an outer form that we can see in the world, right? How many of you are attached to the invisible? Any of you who have had a divine experience? Because everything that is real is invisible, and it's experienced inwardly. And the first place you have to experience it is through an open heart. You have to have an open heart. Without an open heart, how are you going to sense the divine who dwells in your heart? You have to experience God through love, because God is love. Now, Sai Baba said that the right kind of spiritual practice for seeking self-realization, or the Atma, are those practices directed towards the dissolution, the destruction of the ego mind. And then what happens is that the energies that form that ego, the ahankara, the false self, that energy then merges back with the divine. So the energy, all of the energy that was invested into entrapment, then is drawn into the divine, and it becomes a blessing. Then, instead of operating out of the separated sense of self, you begin to operate through the unified self. And so that everything that we put out energetically in the not-self returns to fortify the real self. So even though we're not increased in a sense by anything that happens in this world, nor are we in truth decreased, there is a certain wisdom, if you would, a certain wisdom that is deposited in the chalice, which we spoke of as that part of our torso, including the spiritual heart, into which all of the noble accumulations of all of our lifetimes are deposited. And then that becomes our parting gift as we transcend the dream field. We bequeath or bestow the contents of our chalice to humanity. That's the gift of the saints. That's the gift of the Mahatmas. We come here to always bestow and give. We take nothing for ourselves. Everything that we have, everything that is done, we do to give and to offer. It's the act of divine self-bestowal. And so, to take for ourselves is meaningless to a person who is illumined. It makes no sense. Because the illumined have no sense of me and mine. They have no sense of the need to accrue anything for the self. And so you can have that as a reference point, if you need one. As to how selflessly you're living. And when you live to give, to be simply a conduit through which the divine speaks and acts and does whatever is truly helpful in the moment, that is how we're meant to live. On this planet, in this dream, or on any other dimension, planet, world, universe, galaxy, that we may elect and choose to go forth and serve. Because beyond the dream field of this unreal world, there is the real world of God. The imperishable star realms. And we are denizens from the imperishable stars. And part of us has never forgotten that. Now, Sai Baba said that we should always remember, I'm quoting him here, that success or failure does not depend on the spiritual practice that you do or do not do. It does not depend on your own efforts. Because man identifies himself with his body, he is helplessly tossed hither and thither by his own ego mind. Man thinks, I'm the doer. He thinks, I'm doing this, or I am enjoying this. And by this way of thinking, turn the page here, and by this way of thinking, man is giving strength day and night to his sense of doership. By deluding himself that he has been able to achieve things by his own effort, man is simply inflating his own ego, or ahamkara. Because of man's identification of himself with his body, even man's best efforts have not been crowned with success. The main obstacle to success in your spiritual sadhana is the feeling of I and mine. The feelings of I and mine are being unduly fostered by the sense of doership and by the false sense of enjoyership. As man is deeply immersed in this delusion, he cannot hope to attain higher realization without getting rid of this delusion. So he goes on to say what we must do to attain self-realization. And he said, we must not get frustrated that by depending on our own efforts, we have not been crowned with success. Instead, with little or no effort, we can attain self-realization by, number one, dedicating all of our activities to the divine. Number two, by considering whatever we do as the Lord's work. Number three, by undertaking every task with an unwavering faith in God, and holding to the firm conviction that nothing happens due to our own effort. That's a big one, isn't it? In our self-help age. What he's saying, that is, everything is animated by the supreme divine spirit. Of ourself, we're just a bag of what? Muktananda said we were a bag of stool with a knot tied at the top for a head. Well, that probably defines it. Ramakrishna used to look at people, and to him, people looked like bags. He didn't say bags of stool, thank goodness, but he said bags. You know, that they were like bags of God bags. God inside and trapped in the idea that there's an outer limit that defines the self. So Baba says that God is Sat, truth, existence itself. God is Chit, awareness itself. God is Ananda, bliss itself. These are not different or separate from God. So there you have the sense where we know we're immortal, we know we're eternal, everybody has that feeling that they don't begin and end with the body. Or if they do, they sure get over it quickly when they're on their deathbed. You almost never see anybody upset when they're passing out of the body. They almost always have a peaceful smile on their face. I actually can't recall a time when I saw anybody frightened and fighting the process of death. It's like falling asleep at night. You know, we fall asleep at night, and death is very much the same for many people, unless you're trained to exit the body consciously. It's like going to sleep. It's very, very pleasant. The only difference is you wake up in the morning when you haven't crossed over to the other side. And when you have, you don't return to the body. But it's pleasant, you know, it's just the baby that cries when it gets born. It's like, oh no, here I am again. But, and you see, we've got it all backwards, you know. We're all happy, the baby's born, and the baby's screaming and misery, and when somebody dies, we're crying and carrying on, and the person that's dying is happy, and it's finally out of that shell and that pain and that body. And, being received with usually great love and welcome. So we kind of live backwards, don't we? So how to increase and release our faith? This is important because faith is the currency of the spiritual realm. Without faith and steadfast fortitude, faith, sahana, as it's called in Sanskrit, without sahana, fortitude, in that sense of faith, nothing happens. So, to have faith, spirit must lead, rather than the ego mind. People that have a closed heart tend to be pessimistic, cynical, jaded. What are all those words that describe that state of really great faithlessness and doubt and unhappiness? So many people live in that. They're real sourpusses, you know? They just have no sense of joy or hope or anything. They're just kind of existing. Those are the people that have closed hearts. And so, consequently, they're led by the ego mind. So they're unhappy, understandably so. So to have real faith requires an open heart and humility. You've got to give God, Spirit, the unseen, some wiggle room. And if you're full of doubt and cynicism and denial and hatred and anger and all of that stuff, you know, ego has you. And spirit stands back and honors your free will to be and do as you choose. It's not going to force itself on you. That's why spirit always requires an invitation before it enters your heart, your life, your mind. You have to invite the divine spirit. So we increase our faith by exercising it. It's just like a muscle. You keep exercising it. How do you do that? You keep stepping forward in spite of the fact that you don't know where it's going to lead. You have no idea what's going to happen. So exercising faith is always a step in which you don't know. You can't see. It's a blind step. You're stepping into the unknown, and that's what exercises faith. Now, another important thing is that to release your faith, you need a point of contact. Sai Baba said that no matter how much man tries to imagine God without a form, he can't succeed. Because man has a form, he automatically projects a form onto God. Now, the form can be subtle, like a candle flame. It could be inner sound. Many of us are initiates of the sound current, so we Here, God is the sound, the living word, the pranava within, and we see God as the light within our mind. So those are all forms. But, you know, we also kind of like to have a physical form, too. And the physical form enables us to release our faith, whether that form is a master, an avatar, a guru, a saint, an icon, a cross, or whatever. We have to have something that we can focus as a place to release our faith to. And that's why it's very important that we have that, and we all have it in some form, but we may not have recognized that that's the way we release our faith. I've often suggested in the classes I've taught that people write a letter to God, or specifically to Jesus, since so very many of my students were Jewish and had an issue with Jesus. God only knows why, because he was a Jew himself. And it had nothing to do with starting Christianity. Those were his followers, and most of them were Romans. So go figure. But anyway, in writing to Jesus, many of these people had tremendous healing breakthroughs in just being really honest with how they felt towards him. Just venting and whatever they had to get out of their gut or their heart or whatever, they were able to release it in the form of a letter, which I had assigned as a homework assignment. And there wasn't a single person that didn't have a tremendous breakthrough in their relationship with God and with faith and with healing that kind of grievance they had towards Christ and Christianity, misunderstanding it, of course. So, writing a letter to God is a way to release your faith. I remember that years ago, Oral Roberts, who several members of my family had absolutely miraculous healings through the evangelistic tent ministry of Oral Roberts, who was a great, great man of God. But he spoke a lot about releasing your faith through a point of contact, and often he would have you come and put your hands on his hands on the TV. Benny Hinn will do that too. He'll say, come and lay your hands on mine on the TV or whatever it is that you got there and release your faith. Use this as a point of contact to release your faith. And that's another example. Those of us that gaze with Brazzo, same thing. You stand up and you just release your faith to that gaze. And Brazzo acts as a conduit for that pure divine spirit to go through it, to look through his eyes to you. And you receive by faith. So everything spiritually is received by faith. And we have to have something that to us is a place that we can entrust our faith to. I was looking around my sanctuary. I live actually in a sanctuary, spiritually speaking, where just about everything I look at has to do with Sai Baba and Jesus, John Roger, various masters, and I consider them friends, family, co-workers. But on the other hand, I have a tremendous sense of faith, which is simply represented in my surroundings. And it's a faith based on direct experience of a lifetime of supernatural events, encounters, miracles, witnessing miracles, experiencing them. I think the biggest miracle that I first of all experienced was where my mother was given a month to live. She had polycystic kidney disease, which at that time was incurable, and they gave her a month to live. And I was five, and my father and mother at that point were separated. But I had a tremendous amount of faith, even as a very young child. I came in with just a really strong sense of the divine presence and a very strong faith in that, which was also helped because I was enrolled in first grade, which was at a Catholic school. And I remember running by myself two blocks down to the Catholic church where I went to school, and running into the church, which in those days they would leave the church doors open. And I remember all by myself in this big church yelling out loud, "God, are you there? Please heal my mom. You heal my mom, I give you my life. I'll give you my life. And I'll serve you all my life." A little kid yelling, right? Well, my mom was freaked out because I was gone. She couldn't find me anywhere. So she called the nuns at the convent school, and they nodded knowingly, and they said, "Oh, I think we know where we can find her." And sure enough, I was in the church, because even at that young age, they noted very strongly my devotional nature. Anyway, my mother was completely, totally, absolutely healed. And so I asked the Lord how I could serve him. And he said, "Help troubled people find God." And so, what I've been doing ever since. Started teaching at the age of 8, really. I taught people how to say the rosary. I encouraged them to have faith. I encouraged them to pray and talk to God. My mother was one of my first students. I can remember how attentively she listened to me, because everybody was in awe that my mother had been healed. And they all, unfortunately, attributed to me rather than to God. Unfortunately, they thought it was me and my prayers that did it. But it was God in his mercy that did it. And but from then on, they called me the child with the gift. And they said, "Well, have her pray for you if you have, you know, anything wrong with you, because God listens to her and will heal you." And, of course, I've had that experience many, many times in my life, although I don't consider myself a healer. But you know what? Sai Baba really listens to people who are devotees. Those of you who are devotees, whether you're of Sai Baba or Jesus or whoever it is that you are devoted to, that umbrella of grace covers your whole family and your friends. So when you pray for your friends, God pays attention, because they're important to you, and you bring them to God's attention, and you ask for whatever it is. Those prayers are answered. And it has nothing to do so much with... I just have to say this. Whoever gives their lives to God, lock, stock, and barrel, who's a surrendered, yielded child of God, there's a tremendous grace that surrounds your life, that surrounds your loved ones, your friends, your family. You know, it says in the Bible that the prayers of the righteous availeth much, a tremendous power and spirit when you live a life of faith and devotion to God. So that you yourself become a contact, a point of contact that people can release their faith to. People email me all the time, oh, please, would you pray for this or pray for that? And I usually say, you know what, I of myself do nothing. But I carry a lineage, an upline of spiritual masters that is so great that when you turn to me as a point of contact for help, you get the whole family, the whole lineage. You get all of it, the whole enchilada. And that's true of any of you who operate in a lineage. I operate in quite a few lineages. But that doesn't matter. I was sent forth in this time to be a messenger and a herald of the emerging great souls that are coming on the planet. The avatars, the Lord Maitreya, the Lord Jesus, and many, many, many of the other masters, some 40, according to some reports, of the 63 masters that oversee this planet, and particularly the human kingdom, are emerging onto the physical plane to live amongst us openly again, something they haven't done since Atlantean times, 98,000, I think it was, years ago. So they're emerging to live on the physical planet with us once again. And I have come as a herald of that, a messenger. But that's it. That's all I do. But I have those connections. So for many people, they release their faith through an email to this instrument. Or maybe they release their faith to you as an instrument. But just never take the glory to yourself because you're not doing it. That which is greater is that which does the work through us. It's the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that operated through Jesus of Nazareth, who raised the dead and did miracles every single day, but never, ever claimed the glory. He always said, I of myself do nothing. I do only what the Father tells me. And so that's how we are to live. And to do that, you need an open heart. You need humility. You need to be able to say, you know what, my life hasn't done very well trying to operate it on my own. I haven't done real well trying to get through the days and nights of this life. Maybe you're the person who's turned to drinking or alcohol, or I guess that's the same thing, alcohol or some other addiction, just to cope and numb out and get through the days and the nights. And it's not led to anything that you're proud of or feel good about yourself. And you get to the point when you ask for help. And the minute there's the slightest little willingness, you have that breakthrough. It's absolutely instantaneous. When you get that, oh, God, help me moment, and you really mean it. I can remember one time going through a primal scream experience when I was doing a human potential movement exercise in the early seminars that we started called Insight, Transformational Seminars. And I was in my first, I think it was, training. And I felt like I fell into a deep pit inside myself. And I heard this voice that seemed to come out of, oh my gosh, eternity, bottomless eternity. And I bellowed, I want to go home. And I didn't realize it was me. didn't realize that this body was making that awful, retching sound. And I had my eyes closed really tightly. And John Roger was doing the training, and he said softly, "Open your eyes, love." And he opened my eyes, and I was surrounded by John Roger and over 100 and some other loving people who were taking the training. There was some 200 of us, I think. And I felt like I was in heaven with all the saints of God looking at me with love. I never felt so loved and protected and surrounded. And, oh my, that's one of those peak moments, you know. Whew, anyway, real living on this planet, beloveds, real living, is learning how to live in harmony with that which is within and without. You learn how to dance, how to sing, how to move, how to flow, how to be with and in and surrounded by diversity of consciousness, all these different expressions, and not have a problem with it. Direct yourself in the areas that you want, but let everybody be. Be at peace. Be in harmony with that which is. Because whatever prevails in your life, it's serving a purpose that you just simply have to have faith is for your highest good and would not be in your life if it wasn't for that purpose. So, peace, real peace, is learning the art of being at one with life in all its forms. Doesn't mean you have to like it, appreciate it, participate in it. There's going to be always areas and places and people and things that you just let them do what they want to do, but I'm not going to do that. But you don't have to have an attitude of againstness or hatred towards them. You don't have to cast any shade on anybody. Just keep in your own light. So harmony in the individual will produce harmony in the home. Harmony in the home will produce harmony in the nation. Harmony in the nation will produce harmony in the world. And the vanguards and the way showers and the leaders to that state of living at peace with and in harmony with life as it presents as you and me and all of us that choose to be. We are the ones that are the show and tell vanguard of what heaven on earth is, what the kingdom of God is, what the golden age is. It can't get here except through us. You understand that? The Lord Maitreya, the world teacher, works through us. The masters work through us. That's what a disciple is. One who brings their life into the disciplines that enable the body-mind complex to host the highest energies possible through this instrument and walk it out in your workplace, in your daily life, in your interactions with your friends and family and children, wherever you are. It happens through us, but not by us. It's done through human hands and feet, but the animator that animates those human hands and feet is the Lord. is the one supreme animating Paramatma, the Supreme Spirit, the Holy Spirit, if you will. And it's the same Spirit that does all of the miracles, whether they're done through Sai Baba or Jesus of Nazareth or Guru Nanak or any other great saint, Mother Teresa. It's interesting. Somebody was speaking about Mother Teresa, and Sai Baba said, "She is my greatest devotee." Now, did she know she was a devotee of Sai Baba? No, of course not. She was a devotee of Jesus. But you see, Sai Baba identifies as being all names and all forms of God, right? Regardless of what you call them. And of him, she said, "He does good works." And then the person that asked about that asked Baba if she was liberated. And Sai Baba said, "No, because she loves only the poor." So you see, we have to love everyone. Everyone. Even those people that we wish were not in office, that we cringe every time we see them on television. We have to lay aside that part of ourself that has an angst and a grievance and realize that everyone is where they are because they have been placed there by God. And they're doing what they do because God is the author and the finisher of our faith. And so, many people have placed faith with that, and therefore it is allowed to be. But God appoints everyone in the position they have. And it's a big play that's designed to awaken us and to unfold our own godhood. So that we go forth as divine co-workers with the Supreme Spirit. And we do that because we've had all experience. We've been in every role and skin tone and career, culture and belief system and religion. And we've played every role from the brightest to the darkest. And we have awakened beyond all duality and realized we are the one and we are simply love. And so love is the fulfilling of the law. You transcend the world, the flesh, the devil, or the accuser, the false self, is really another term for the devil. You transcend it all when you awaken. And you awaken by loving it all. By blessing it all. And remembering that nothing you see with a body's eyes is real. But the eyes of the heart see truly. So follow the divine heart, the selfless heart. And through the eyes of the heart, you will see the face of the beloved and realize it's your own. So I hope this has been helpful. Let's take a deep breath. And as we do, we're going to be sending our love, our light, and our blessing to every single sentient being, but especially to humanity at this time, our brothers and sisters that are in very many states of consciousness. And we pray, may all beings in all the worlds and upon this earth have a touch of God right now. May they be touched with a love so personal to each in a way they can each receive it. May they be blessed. May they be at peace. May they have a happiness they can't even account for. May all desire to harm and kill and wage war just vanish. Let's visualize pink, beautiful rose-colored pink light of divine love go out throughout the earth and touch to every heart. So that everything that is meant for evil, God can turn to good. And that we lay down all of our implements of destruction and harmful intention, and indeed turn them into plowshares and cultivate food and flowers and make love and make beautiful babies and fill the world with laughter and joy and happiness. May all dwell in the golden age. We chant Anahi, one real long one, as we send our love and our blessings. Deep breath. Blessings and grace.